Donna Fletcher's one of those people. To know her is to love her. And I've had the last couple of years getting to know her quite well. We've been doing a leadership coaching program and building a discipleship culture. And so I've been able to spend a quality time and quantity time with Donna. I love her crying. She just... I wish I could cry as much as she cries. She cries because of the goodness of God in her life and working through her. She just has such a passion for people to know God's goodness tangibly. She's very quick to ask people to pray for them or to meet a need practically. I just love her heart, and I just know that God's used her to inspire me and to challenge me. And so she's been invited into our key leadership. So I just really want to invite you to lean into what she wants to share today, and that it's not just her story, but it's an invitation for you to experience God in some of the ways that she's experienced him. Thanks, Di.
If you haven't worked it out, this is a first for me. I love that clip that we just had, because I just had this great idea of what I wanted to say, and I wrote it all down on paper. This is not in the notes, Brian. And the youngest granddaughter, who's one, scribbled all over it. And I went, oh. But then I went, oh, thanks, Kyra. That's not what God wanted me to say. Screwed it and started again. Just, I prayed, God, what do you want me to say? What do you guys need to hear from God? And this is what he came up with. So, I've been in Overflow about 5 years, and today I'm just going to tell you how I do life with Jesus, basically. So a lot of people tell me I'm always smiling and I have a very positive attitude, and yeah, I guess I am. I'm a glass half full kind of girl. So, and this is my motto in life. I just want to read it to you. So it's from Philippians 4, verse 8. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, and by the way, that's you guys, and you need to remember that for the next point. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And that's where I choose to put my attention. But life's not always rosy. However, I've come here today to tell you I've discovered some tools or some weapons, and I want to share them with you. And this is my number one weapon, okay? This is the Word of God. This is what I live by. This is my answers. This is my comfort, my security blanket, and my guidance in life. This is where I hear Jesus. The second one that I've got today are these little doovers, which if you don't know, they go in your ears, which is my praise and worship, not just through music or podcasts, but I'm able to put them in, and being a girl, having hair, nobody even knows. And I even use them at inappropriate times. So I had to do a course at work, and I wasn't in favour of what the course was about, but if I wanted to get paid, I had to do the course. So I put the worship music in. I signed the bit of paper. I sat there for an hour, and I left the room, and I got paid. How good's God, eh? Now, my third one today is invisible, but, yeah, it's the crown that I wear. It is a reminder that I am a daughter of the Most High King, that I'm a child of God. And you guys, as my brothers and sisters, are also an heir in this family. You've just got to think about what that means to you. It's my identity. My life hasn't always been easy, even if I am smiling. And I really do not like that false positivity, you know, that stiff upper lip, because life isn't always easy. And we were never promised an easy life, but we were promised is that God would always be with us. And my last 2 years have been pretty crappy, actually. I nursed my father at home through cancer. I contracted COVID and unknowingly gave it to him, and he died. And he died, though. I prayed for him, and he'd recently become a Christian, and I'd prayed for him, and I said, amen. And he breathed in, and he breathed out, and he stopped. And he went to heaven in the arms of the angels. I watched him go. And although it was sad, and although it was hard, it was very, very comforting. July last year, my son was diagnosed with total kidney failure. I think a lot of you know that. And every single day, we would wake up and think, is he going to make it to the sunset today or not? And I just want to tell all of you this great news that on Good Friday, when Jesus died for us, someone else died to give my son new life. And he got a transplant on last Friday, just a week ago. Oh. And yeah, Brad warned you I would cry. But they're not sad tears, they're tears of joy. And people ask me, with my son, when he was living in, on the wire, is he a Christian? And people used to say to me, how long have you been a Christian? And I thought, what does that mean? What does it mean to be a Christian? When did you become a Christian? I always believed in God. Always tried to be good. Probably failed a lot at that. But and I always heard from God, and I had some great mentors in my life. I had a scripture teacher in primary school who drew on the blackboard, that's what we had in those days, the two gates, the narrow gate and the wide gate, and told that story. And I was like, I want that one. I want that narrow gate. That's where I'm going. And just recently I caught up with her and I got to tell her about that seed she planted and how it sprouted. And she's a very old lady now. So, I grew up in an unchurched, dysfunctional family, suffered many traumatic childhood, I guess, and I walked right off that path that Jesus had made for me, a long way off that path. And I could stand here and tell you those things in confession, and if you really want to know, come and ask me. I'm not proud of them. They were the sins that nailed Jesus to the cross. But I want to share the good things from that. When I had walked off that path and then came back, that gave me this great heart for not judging other people, for seeing them how Jesus sees them, and for saving the lost souls, for saving those people that they're trying to find their path as well. Believe it or not, I used to suffer really severe anxiety. I was on medication for a long time, and there was a really, really low point in my life where my husband had left me, not Ken, where my kids were teenagers. One locked himself in his room for years. The other one left home because she didn't like the rules. We have a really good relationship now, though. I lost my job. I lost my house. I lost my money. I even lost my dog. It got killed. It got out of the house and got killed at this low point. And I was on some pretty heavy meds. And one night I lay in bed and I crossed my arms and just lay there and waited for that Valium to kick in. And as I was laying there waiting, I felt a presence in the room. And Jesus sat on the end of my bed and he said to me, you don't need that. I'm enough. I'm enough for you. And I believed him. And, of course, I couldn't give up those meds immediately. That's medically unsafe. But over time, I gave up first the Valium and then all the other meds as well, to a point where, yeah, Jesus was enough. I learnt that. So Jesus became my saviour, and I was so proud to tell people that. But that was not enough just to be my saviour. He wanted more from me. So I started talking to him all the time. I think we call that prayer. And I even prayed to find a good church. And as I moved around, I was always found a good church. What does a good church mean? I mean, Overflow is a good church, but it's like Ben said a minute ago, we're all parts of the one body, so the glove will fit the hand and the sock will fit the foot and the belt that fits me won't fit some of you skinny people out there. So I had a good church to me was the church that fitted me. And the minute I walked in the door here at Overflow, I just went, oh, I'm home. It was immediately, it fitted me. I also had some great mentors who discipled me in my life, in my early Christian life. And again, that developed in me this great heart for discipleship, to walk alongside of people and be there when they needed something from Jesus. I was very careful to where I put my attention and who I kept company with. I was not to say that we shouldn't hang out with people that are not Christians, because that's not what Jesus did, but I was didn't want to get off that path again. I didn't want to be lost again. So I was careful what I watched, what I listened to, what music I listened to, who I hung out with, where I went, because I was just hungry. I was really hungry for Jesus. And at that point, Jesus went from being my Lord, went from being my Saviour to being my Lord. What does that mean? He was the King of my life. I depended totally on Him. I trusted Him. I gave over the reins to Him. Not that He had control. We kind of did those things together. We partnered together in our decisions, but His ways were always far better than mine. And I developed some healthy habits, so many healthy habits, and I'm happy to share them if that's where you're at and you would like to know some healthy habits as tools in your life. But one of them that's been particularly important to me in the last few years is a little anacronym called CACAO. It's not chocolate, it's better than chocolate. So what it stands for is being consistently aware of continually abiding in His oneness. So CACAO, consistently aware of continually abiding in His oneness. And it means that He is with me all the time. He is with me in all the decisions. He is with me in the pain. He is with me in the joy. And He meets me wherever I'm at. Sometimes I stuff up on my C's. I forget the continual and the consciousness and make mistakes. Luckily, I'm forgiven. A really big part of my journey with Jesus was healing. And if that, again, if that's where you're at, I'm really happy to talk intimately with you about that. Like I said, coming from a background that I really admired those people that grew up in Christian homes with, you know, normal parents and if there's such a thing, and had known the Bible from when they could start to talk and prayed when they ate dinner. But I didn't have that, so there was lots of things I needed healing for. And I started in a healing ministry in a church in Sydney, and I landed later in personal ministry with a great counsellor. And it was a real turning point. It's probably the last 2 years when you've seen me missing in action where I was really broken. And I just want to say, don't be afraid to be broken. If it is in those cracks when you're broken that the light of Jesus can shine in. And it's in that confidence that knowing you're in the potter's hands, that if you're broken, He's going to make something just so much better than you could ever imagine or think of. Yeah, I think there's a lot of people have experienced things like that, and it's just a great story. One of the most important things in my walk with Jesus is time. So I'm a quality time kind of girl. That's my love language. And if you don't have time for prayer, if you don't have time for Jesus, then your life is out of whack and you've got to find that time. And having minded my 1 and 2-year-old granddaughters this week while my daughter-in-law was in hospital with my son, I know time can be tough, but I found snippets of time to think about what I wanted to say today. I pray in the shower. That's like my Superman phone box. I pray when I'm driving to work. It's true. Yeah, and I, as soon as they went to bed, I just couldn't wait to get my Bible out or the phone, because I didn't have a Bible with me, but we always have a phone. And spending time with Jesus is the most important thing. And it's if I want to develop my relationship with my grandkids or my kids, you know, I spend time with them. If I want to meet new friends and get to know them, I spend time with them. You know, if the church here together didn't spend time together, what would we be? If I didn't spend time with my husband, our marriage would probably fail. But time is the thing that Jesus really requires of you. That's it. Not just in my prayer did I ask for things, but I had to learn to listen. Tricky one. And people say, how do you hear God? And it's a hard thing to tell other people, because we're all individuals and we have individual experiences. So just for me, I heard him in my thoughts. I'd have these really weird thoughts that I think, wow, where'd that come from? You know, it's nothing that I could have dreamt up. I heard him when people prayed for me. I heard him when what people spoke over me. I heard him really strongly when I read my Bible. I heard him in podcasts. I heard him in YouTube. And I heard him three times over most of the time. So I would read something in the morning. Someone would say something to me later in the day, and then I'd hear it on the radio and I'd go, whoa, what are you trying to tell me, God? I should be listening here. Yeah, I love hearing. I expect to hear. The first word that God ever gave me, and it's in the front of that little tool I have here, it's 2015, and the word was be still. And for those of you who really do know me, that's my challenge. I'm not very good at sitting still. I'm not very good at staying still. But God gave me lots of tests to go with that, and it took me about 5 years. Until I got it right. I'm actually still trying to perfect it, but until I got it good enough. And those tests came over and over again. But in 2020, for New Year, God gave me a new word, and it was bold obedience. And that was a challenging word. He again asked me to do lots of things. He gave me lots of tests. And sometimes they were like, oh, I don't want to do that. Get someone else to do it, please. I'm not good enough to do that. I didn't feel worthy, was my thing, to do what he was asking me to do. Sometimes it was to speak to a minister in the church. I thought, oh, who am I to say that? No way. But it was when I learnt that word surrender and gave in, I went from that really uncomfortable feeling to this feeling of elation that I had done what God wanted me to do. And they were simple things. Sometimes it was, you know, ask that lady at the supermarket to come for lunch, or, you know, ask that person there if you can pray for them. Oh, I don't know that person. I don't want to do that. Anyway, I must have passed that test, because every year for New Year, God gives me a new word now. And I just want to tell you, my word this year was joy. I was so happy to have that word. I can't wait. He also gave me a scripture to go with it, and I'll just read it to you. And God knows me really well, I have to tell you. He knows that I'm a bit deaf and blind sometimes, and I'm certainly very stubborn. And if you don't believe that, you can ask Ken. So he gave me this really simple verse this year, and it was James 1, 2, 3, 4. That's so easy to remember, isn't it? So it says, my fellow believers, when it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. For you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up in you the power of endurance. And then, as your endurance grows even stronger, it will release perfection into every part of your being until there is nothing missing and nothing lacking. That word joy came with such funny experiences. Even I was at the pool one day and I met a new lady, and she didn't seem to know anyone. And I said, oh, hi, I'm Donna. What's your name? And she said, Joy. I said, of course it is. Lucky for me, she was also a Christian and she knew what I was talking about. There's a great quote by Brené Brown, and she says that, and if you haven't heard of Brené Brown, look it up. She says some great things. Cultivate joy by practicing gratitude. Yeah, and gratitude is another one of those big words like time. So whenever you wake up in the morning and those wild animals come rushing out of you before you put your feet on the floor and you think, oh, I've got to remember to get that for work today. Oh, and I've got to do that for the kids, and I better hang the washing out before we leave, and I've got to pick milk up on the way home. Oh, Brad messaged me, I better get back to him. Before all those, I just think they're like wild animals come rushing at me, I put my feet on the floor and remember to give thanks. And the number of times that Jesus did that in the Bible is really interesting, that before starting anything, to give thanks. So today, I'm really thankful that I got an extra hour's sleep after sleeping with a 1 and a 2-year-old for the last week. Yeah, gratitude first and gratitude always. That's my motto, I think, yeah. I choose in my life to see God in everything. When the birds are singing, that's the words of God. I see him in that. When those same birds drop feathers at my feet, I know that I'm under his wing. I see him in you guys. I see those things as we are being transformed into his likeness. And my job is not just to see him, but to reflect his glory, to attribute those beautiful things back to him. So when I see a sunrise in the morning, I don't just say, oh, that's a beautiful sunrise. I go, wow, look what God painted for me. For me. Who am I? For me he painted that. It's amazing. I wanted 6 children, but that was my desire. My first marriage didn't last that long. One of those sad stories, but God was so good, just so good. He gave me 6 grandchildren, and grandkids are so much more fun than kids. So this is kind of like, I think I added up to Brian today, 16 things that I do, and there's probably more that I do that I haven't talked about or written down, and there's probably heaps that you do that you could add to that list, and I'd love to hear that. I'd love you to add to my list. But my desire today for you is that you experience how wide and how long and how high and how deep the Father's love is, and that you let that love transform you into the likeness of Jesus as well. And I have a prayer from the Bible that I like to pray over my family. And as I started saying that you are my brothers and sisters, I would like to finish today by praying it for you guys as well. So it's from Ephesians 3, 16 to 19. This is from the Passion Translation. It's so beautiful. And I pray that he would unveil within you the unlimited riches of his glory and favour until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power. Then, by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside of you, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. Then you will be empowered to discover what every Holy One experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Jesus in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love, endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. Amen.